And it is 9 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 12 noon in the East Coast, and it's 7 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is February 15, 2017, and this is Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. Today is a special day, not just because I'm alive here today, and you know, not having a replay today, but because I'm going to welcome Congressman Joe Wilson from South Carolina to the show to discuss the Netanyahu visit. It's something that we all looking forward to. The change of rhythm in Washington is obviously making some voices an echo everywhere, and we really, really want to have insight to what Congressman Wilson think about the way that America is going to take. Right now, the challenges are everywhere. Israel is in the middle of, you know, the Middle East, where everywhere is chaos, and somebody who can take care of business needs to act up. And I'm sure that today visit and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu that is meeting right now with President Donald J. Trump, we're going to have a sense of what's about to happen, what we can do, and how we can cooperate. Because the deal of this chaos is cooperation at the end of the day. Because if you and me understand each other, we can go on to the next level. So that's what we are going to start today. We're going to start talking about what's going to be next. Let's have some tapes, and before we talk to the congressman, we'll be there immediately after.
This is John Waggy. I'm a senior editor with CBN News, and I recently had a chance to spend 2.5 weeks in Israel after the election of Donald Trump as the American president and before this historic meeting between Benjamin Netanyahu and Trump, which could be a real game changer in the Middle East. One of the problems that Netanyahu has faced as one of Israel's longest running prime ministers is that he's never really had a president of the United States on board with his view of the Middle East and his view of the world. And so this is a change. And Netanyahu has really, collectively, I think his government has breathed a sigh of relief that now they have someone in the White House that they may be able to advance Israel's interests with. And Israel's interests, first and foremost, center around the danger posed by Iran, who has threatened to wipe out Israel as a nation. And Iran's nuclear program is something very much on the minds of Netanyahu and his government, and yet President Obama continually dealt with Iran in a different form. So Iran is going to be a big issue with President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu. Netanyahu would like to see a president less concerned with building of Israeli neighborhoods around Jerusalem and in some areas of the West Bank, where there are large settlement blocks that have grown up. And President Obama's view of it was that these settlement blocks were the main obstacle to peace. And Netanyahu has never believed that. Trump has said on the campaign trail he doesn't believe that. And so they're hoping there will be a different policy concerning Jewish communities in the biblical lands of Judea and Samaria. That's another issue that will certainly be addressed there. But Netanyahu would like to see issues like Iran and Syria and threats posed to Israel take greater weight in discussions with the United States than President Obama was willing to do. So it could be an historic meeting. Also, the Palestinians are factionalized between Fatah, which is run in Ramallah by President Mahmoud Abbas, and Hamas, which is run essentially by a terrorist group dedicated to Israel's destruction. And there's not enough focus has really been placed on what the issues the Palestinians have that divide them. And so this is another issue that the Prime Minister hopes to see happen. Jonathan Schanzer of the Foundation of Defense for Democracies had an interview with John Jessup recently in which he talked about the Palestinian divisions are not getting nearly enough attention in the United States and in the West.
This is a blind spot that Democrats and Republicans have ignored in recent years, and that is that the Palestinians themselves are deeply, deeply divided. The Hamas faction in the Gaza Strip is in a civil war with the Fatah faction, which controls the West Bank. The two sides have two different governments. They have two different economies. They've got two different everything. So my advice, first and foremost, is to settle this internal Palestinian problem first. Then once you have that and you can identify who will negotiate on the Palestinian side, you've got a better chance. The question for this president is whether he's got the time and bandwidth, whether he wants to invest in this thorny conflict when there are many other issues like Iran, ISIS, Syria, all the issues that he's promised that he's going to tackle at home. I just wonder where this fits within his priority matrix.
We are very excited to welcome soon our beautiful, incredible friend, Joe Wilson, from a congressman from South Carolina, which worked so hard for so many years. And I know him for many, many years. And I can't wait to talk to him about the possibility of, of change in rhythm in the economy, in American policy overseas, and in collaboration with Europe and all the rest. It's amazing that at these days that we have Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, all the hoo-ha today is about the security advisor that resigned, which, of course, if you vet people enough, good enough, you can check if they had any contact. But for some reason, people withhold that information until he was in office so they can drop the bomb on him, I guess. It's normal in the democratic way of being. It's nothing new. I know them for a while. I've been through, California for many years, and I know what the Democratic people can do. They can be incredible if they want, and they can be a pain if they want, that they choose to do the other side of the coin, this point. It's not easy to manage a country, especially when you are expected to lead the free world after you had an administration that did not work in the same way that you are willing to work. It's a different method. It's a different policy. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying it's a new day. Let's get our act together and work together. If the Democrats insist to destroy every given place that they can, by all means, at the end of the day, it's America. And I've been talking to people in California. I've been talking to my friends. I've been talking to my family. And I was asking, do you love America? Do you care about America? Is the fact that you're a Democrat does not mean nothing. It's election. You the Democrats lost, and they have to face that, and they have to get over themselves, and the dignity of losing it. Sometimes it's painful, and it's so important for us to get our act together and work toward a better future. I'm very honored right now. I just learned that Congressman Wilson is here with us. Congressman Wilson, good morning, sir. Welcome to the show.
Well, Oli, it's so wonderful to hear your voice. We still appreciate what a great community and civic leader you were at Hilton Head Island in Beaufort County. Oli Benny Davis is a beloved person.
Thank you so much, sir, and you are the same. I'm so happy and so honored. I'm actually doubly happy because we have Congress back to the Republican ends, and we have the president that is a Republican, and we have the Senate. Thank God. There is hope, after all, for America's sake.
It really is, and you were early there helping develop the two-party system in South Carolina, and now with your hard work, now every statewide official in South Carolina, state and federal, is a Republican, and also we have super majorities on county government and also the General Assembly of South Carolina. So only Benny Davis made a difference.
Thank you, sir. I love South Carolina. I think it's an amazing place. And something that I recall arriving to South Carolina, coming from, you know, Hollywood from California, I said, wow, those people are smart here. It took me a while to understand Southern accent, but I knew they're really special. So the Southern hospitality is not a myth. The Southern people are really smart and incredible, and I'm looking forward to working with you all again and again. And I hope that with God's help, we can manage to help President Trump with his incredible task to lead the world again like America needs to be leading.
Well, and Ollie, this is certainly a huge day for all of us with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu visiting at the White House today.
Yes.
This could be a positive day to show the strong relationship between the people, the American citizens, and the people and citizens of Israel.
Exactly. And Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu couldn't be happier to have a friendly voice and friendly face and friendly Congress working with us, because the challenges here are humongous. The Middle East is in chaos. The world is looking up to Donald Trump to lead the way. And I know that there are a lot of, you know, changes in the administration right now, but it's something that, you know, can go away. And we hope that America will stand back and show us what a leader looks like. Now let's go for the basic. You know, me and you, I spoke with you, sir, for many years about Jerusalem and about the need to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Would you think that the president will move the embassy this time?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
That's
yes.
Amazing.
And
yes.
And in fact, the reason, and I was listening to your program earlier, the reason for so much chagrin and sadly, virtual hatred of Mr. Trump is that he's following through on what he committed to do. And so he has committed to moving the embassy to Jerusalem, and I believe he will follow through. And then you were actually referencing a few minutes ago about how people need to get over an election. And sadly, we have a political party that has not recognized the election's over. They're continuing to campaign. And in fact, it was the senior senator of South Carolina, Lindsey Graham, who actually stated that the Democrats have a problem. They lost the election, and now they're losing their mind. And we're still reaching out to them. I just left a meeting where I tried to make it bipartisan, and it was to a level that way, because we should be working together. But there is a really sad circumstance where people were so shocked by the election returns. It was very similar to Brexit. Which was startling, except that the voters spoke.
Absolutely. And you know what? They were, you know, they won before, and this time they'll get over it. They're Democrat. They act up, but I'm sure that they'll get a grip and we go. We just need to give them a good reason for that. Now, Congressman Wilson, you are on the Armed Services Committee. You are on the Committee of Foreign Affairs. You are on the Committee of Education and Workforce. I know what's your schedule look like. I know you're busy and you gave me this incredible time right now in the midst of a Netanyahu visit. Tell me. What do you think Donald Trump and President and Prime Minister Netanyahu are going to really talk about, except Jerusalem, of course?
Really, what they're going to talk about is what you support, and that is peace through strength. If we have a strong Israel, if we have a strong America, we know that in the tradition of Ronald Reagan, that's how you bring peace. Where you have weakness, where you have equivocation, where you virtually have capitulation, the dangerous Iranian nuclear deal. It only leads to adventurism by people who are chanting death to America, death to Israel, people who write on the side of a missile in Hebrew that Israel will be wiped off the face of the earth. We're going to build up our military. We're going to build up the military and the defenses of Israel, and that's how you have peace. That's how you avoid war. To do otherwise, and so I have absolute faith in Donald Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu.
I believe that too, and I trust America. America does have the most powerful army in the world, and people should not forget them. And Russia and Iran should remember that really clear. America is the strongest leader of the free world, and that's how she's going to be, always, God willing. Now, the big question of the day, sir. You know, I love education. I love to learn because I never stop learning. When you guys are going to put a good American university in Israel? Because we don't have one.
Well, there should be, and I'm appalled that there's not one, and there should be. And I've actually had the opportunity to serve on the board of trustees of the American University of Bulgaria in Blagoje.
All right.
And I've visited American universities of all places in Bishkek, Kyrgyzstan, had the opportunity to speak there, and I've seen actual branches of American universities in Bahrain. And so I over and over again, if however I can help promote that, please let me know.
I would love to have a university here just for the reason that we need a base, you know, for all the knowledge that we have, because all this technological advancement that Israel has, she needs to evolve and constantly, you know, communicate with the world. It's not, you know, Jerusalem, Israel, it's the Holy Land. God knew why put this little land here. It's not about the might of the ground. It's the might of the people and the devotion to help the world. And I'm sure that if we can have a really good base, a good university, we can communicate, we can transform this land. And I'm really looking forward to working with you on this. And I trust that you'll do your best. And I'm so honored. And I miss you all very much. I hope you send all my love to Roxanne and to your beautiful, lovely children and grandchildren. And I want to send you all my love, my prayers for America and for South Carolina, for you, for your family, and all yours from Israel, the Holy Land.
Well, thank you so much. Again, I'm really grateful. All four of my sons, two have served in Iraq. Alan was field artillery in Iraq. My second son, a doctor of the Navy there, serving in Iraq. My third son, Julian, served in Bright Star in Egypt. And my youngest son, has returned as an engineer from Afghanistan. And so our family is engaged. We know that the Middle East can be stable. We know it can be positive. We want the best for all of your neighbors. I've had the privilege of being in Iraq 12 times. I've been to Jordan a dozen times. I've been to Israel itself, of course, too. And so I know that there's a great opportunity by having peace through strength for the people of the Middle East, people of all faiths, to be successful.
Absolutely. And, you know, this year is 50 years of the liberation of Jerusalem. It's 100 years of the Balfour Declaration that declared, you know, that the Jewish people deserve to have a homeland. I really would like to invite you again to visit you and your family, Israel, and maybe we can go to Jerusalem and pray together before God, God willing.
Well, Orly, it would be our honor. And each time that I've been to Israel, it's, the people have impressed me by their strength, by their commitment, their love of country, love of family, love of God.
Yeah, absolutely. And we love you all. And, you know, we bless you all. And we are very honored to have America as our best friends. God bless you. God bless America. And we'll talk to you soon, sir. Thank you so much for your time.
God bless Israel. God bless. Bye-bye.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen to you. Bye-bye, sir. Thank you so much. And that was Congressman Joe Wilson from South Carolina, honorable man, incredible man of duty, family, honored, you know, to be their friends. And I'm really honored to have the opportunity to welcome him to the show today. Let's have some music and we'll be back after that. All right, we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with the Impossible Truth of the Bee Gees. Just show us, you know, staying alive. Remember those days when we changed the world? We make a difference, and that's how it's going to be like that. And everybody watching Donald Trump, he said, oh, it's a working chaos and everything. Chaos is what they left. He's trying to manage through the chaos they left. You cannot create chaos in the White House in 26 days. You guys, get a grip. It's not his fault. It's whatever he has to find. You know, he came to it. Anyway, guys, we have, we just talked to Joe Wilson, the congressman who works so hard, is everywhere. I saw his schedule once. He told me, come with me on the hill. I'm walking, you know, I was in a meeting with another group, and I passed by and saw him and talked to him. And I saw his schedule. It's like every 5 minutes they have a meeting. This Congress works so hard, you know, bless them, really. I'm sending all the best to them, all of them, Democrats and Republicans. They're all the same. Anyway, let's go back. We are thinking what's going to happen with Benjamin Netanyahu. So we had a confirmation about Congressman Jill Wilson saying that Donald Trump will move the embassy to Jerusalem, and I'm sure he will, because to have the opportunity to build in the Holy City, somebody who is a believer, I don't think he's going to let go. You know, scary, and all the Palestinians saying, you know, that it's going to be incredible or something will happen. No, no, he's going to build, and we should start building. And everybody else that stopped the world from emerging, from process, from becoming a better world, from building. You know, for builders, it's so natural to take a ground and just make it happen. For people who like sands, like, you know, most of the Arab nation who don't like, they like to be nomad, I guess, they don't let us build. And that's the obstacles of the progress. So it's between, you know, the old age and the new age. We need to go on. So let's have another note so you can hear what people think about the visit. Let's listen.
Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is in Washington ahead of a meeting tomorrow with President Trump. Special correspondent Martin Seemungal has some background from Jerusalem.
Jerusalem's old city is defined by divisions, four quarters, Armenian, Christian, Muslim, and Jewish, a legacy of conquests and occupations dating back thousands of years. Israeli soldiers captured East Jerusalem and the old city from Jordan in the Six-Day War of 1967. Today, Israeli soldiers still control the streets of the old city and the thousands of Palestinians who live here. It is a tense, often volatile place.
I love Israel. I love Israel.
Enter Donald Trump.
We will move the American embassy.
Promising to move the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem during his campaign. Jerusalem's mayor, Nir Barkat, welcomes the news with open enthusiasm. His vice mayor, Yitzhak Pindrus, says it's long overdue.
Jerusalem was the capital of Israel, the capital of the Jewish nation. It was that for thousands of years. It's not something that's going to change, and I'm comfortable with that. And I would be very happy if the embassy will move here.
No nation on earth officially recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. To understand why, you have to go back beyond the 67 war. The United Nations 1947 partition created Jewish and Arab states, putting Jerusalem under international control. Israel captured a large part of Jerusalem in 1948 and divided Israeli West Jerusalem from a Palestinian East Jerusalem with a green line. Despite declaring West Jerusalem as its capital, no country moved embassies there. This is the old green line that split Jerusalem in two. Israel annexed the eastern side of the city in the 1980s, illegally, according to international law. And ever since, it's been trying to erase that sense of division. But the reality remains, West Jerusalem is predominantly Jewish, East Jerusalem is predominantly Muslim. Palestinians want East Jerusalem as the capital of a Palestinian state, and Donald Trump's promise to move the embassy to Jerusalem has angered Palestinians. Hanan Ashwari is a senior member of the Palestinian Liberation Organization.
This is an irresponsible and dangerous move. Don't even think about it, because you'll be inflaming feelings. You'll be turning this into a religious conflict. You will be starting a whole new cycle of violence. The U.S. will be seen as complicit.
The Trump administration got the same message from other Arab leaders in the region, and it may have had an impact. The embassy move doesn't seem so imminent anymore and may have been shelved for the time being. However, there is still a feeling here that the Trump administration favors Israel. Just before the new year, the incoming president tweeted, "We cannot continue to let Israel be treated with such total disdain and disrespect. Stay strong, Israel. January 20th is fast approaching." Trump's tweets came just after former Secretary of State John Kerry lashed out at Israel for its settlement policy, the last flashpoint in a tense relationship between Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and the Obama White House. The two leaders clashed repeatedly, the deepest division over Iran. Netanyahu was openly and harshly critical of the nuclear deal that Obama championed. Netanyahu's right-wing government was criticized often by the Obama administration, particularly on the issue of settlement building in East Jerusalem and the West Bank.
Congratulations.
A clearly pleased Netanyahu spoke the day after Trump's victory.
"You are a great friend of Israel. Over the years, you've expressed your support consistently, and I deeply appreciate it."
And within days of Trump's inauguration, Netanyahu announced major settlement expansion plans. 3,000 units in total, the biggest in years. The White House stayed silent. Ayelet Shaked is the justice minister and member of the right-wing Jewish Home Party that is pushing settlement building in what the government calls Judea and Samaria, the biblical term for the West Bank. She says Netanyahu's announcements were made because Donald Trump is in the White House now.
"Of course, it's not a coincidence. For 8 years, Obama administration refused to any extension in Judea and Samaria. And actually, in reality, the main cities there were frozen. So, of course, we expect that in a Trump administration, it will be different."
And there are other indicators of the Trump strong pro-Israel sentiment. President Trump's nominee for ambassador to Israel is David Friedman, reportedly a U.S. fundraiser for a West Bank settlement, who believes Israel should not be forced into a two-state solution. President Trump seems likely to appoint Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, viewed as extremely sympathetic to Israel, to negotiate a deal between the Israelis and the Palestinians.
"Now you have settlers and settler supporters in the White House. And it's unbelievable. It's incredible."
Dan Shapiro understands very well the complications of trying to broker peace between Palestinians and Israelis. He was the American ambassador here during the Obama years and knows what Kushner is about to face.
"Well, the first thing I would say to anybody given that assignment is good luck. And I don't mean that in a joking way. Obviously, anybody who's worked on this issue knows its frustrations and pitfalls. So one advantage he will certainly have is his close relationship to the president."
Negotiations will be even more difficult than usual if the Palestinians feel the new U.S. administration has shifted strongly towards Israel. The early days of the Trump administration were not comforting to Palestinians. But when Netanyahu announced another set of settlement building, the White House did react. The first part of the statement signaled a shift in past policy, often critical of Israel on the settlement building issue, saying the administration does not believe the settlements are an impediment to peace. But then a change in tone. The construction of new settlements or the expansion of existing settlements beyond their current borders may not be helpful in achieving that goal. It was interpreted in Israel as a polite warning. It raised some concern within the Netanyahu coalition. Dan Meridor served as a cabinet minister under Netanyahu, but left politics because of Netanyahu's shift to the right. He says when it comes to Trump, the government should not assume too much.
"Because he's so unpredictable in a way, I would not bet anything on what may develop. If I were the government, I would not base any policies on the presumption that Trump would go in a certain way.
White House statements and Trump's recent comments do appear to indicate a change in direction from the first days of Trump's presidency, more in line with longstanding American policy based on two states for two peoples. The two-state solution is critical to peace because Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas still believes it. It remains the foundation of the Palestinian dream. Tomorrow's White House visit by Netanyahu will be watched very closely on both sides of Jerusalem and on the West Bank for any hint of a change in the status quo, one defined for so long by division. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Martin Seemungal in Jerusalem.
And we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. We were talking about, we were listening to some of the, you know, opinion makers in the region and their feeling about this meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu and Donald Trump. I'm sure that they're going to start a good dialogue about how we get along. And one issue came out is the two-state solution, which the Palestinian, so-called Palestinian, and I tell you again and again, once you have a passport, a Jordanian passport, you're not a refugee. Palestinian are, they decided to keep their identity, you know, even that they have a passport and a home, you know, called Jordan. For some reason, Gaza become a household of terror. And Hamas is fighting them, and they elected a very extreme, you know, incredible anti-Israeli leader that will drop, you know, Hamas off the skirmish. They cannot, they will not be a part of any kind of negotiation now, because that terrorist was in the jail, Israeli jail, and got released after there was exchange of I don't know how you call it, of prisoners, when, you know, the terrorists, when they capture, get captured in Israel, they don't kill them. It's not like you have the death penalty in Israel that whoever killed get, you know, get the death penalty. No, in Israel, they let them leave. They let the, they educate them in jail. And after they make a deal, they kidnap one soldier, and sure enough, Israel pay back with thousands of them. But and this time, they're holding some of the prisoner there, and I'm sure that that they would like to release other prisoners. But I don't think that it's going to happen this time, because the Israeli government changed, and the minister of defense is Lieberman, which is, you know, born in Russia, and I don't think that is gonna like any kind of forceful action. He actually was very strong on what can happen if they just act up. You see, peace is something that we all want, we all need, and both party needs to, you know, to earn it. You don't fight a small war and expect a big peace. That's something that the only Palestinian think that they can manage to have. They take all the money of the West and build terrorist tunnel. They cry a baby, and then they come and get a hug from the world. They say stop a building on their lands, and I wonder, you know, how long the world and the Democrat, this is their fault. And I'm giving it all to the Clinton administration, and I'm giving it all to Hillary Clinton, because the biggest lie of all is to take somebody who doesn't own a territory or any place and tell them this is your home. And then because that they use the same name, they adopted the name of the grounds, they become honored of the place. It's like, you know, like people who work in a big company, and they call themselves the same name, and then they own that place. Think about people who work in the McDonald's. You would say, you know, they are all owners of McDonald's. So the Palestinian, the native of the land, You know, they are natives of the land. Okay. But now you have Jordanian 90% or 80% are Palestinian. You can build the life. And right now, who wants to be alone? Why you want to be alone? Just get together. Let's start managing this craziness. Let's work together, build economy that everybody can live off, can sustain us, and can give us some hope for the future. I really think that we should do that. And I think that we definitely need a song right now. Don't you think? Let's listen to another lovely song, and we'll be back after that.
Baby, when I met you, there was peace unknown. I set out to get you with a fine tooth comb. I was soft inside. There was something going on.
Kenny Rogers and Dolly, Wonderful Island in the Stream. I love that song. Thank you so much, Doug, for putting it on. I'm telling you guys, we are really excited about today. Today is an incredible day, and I hope you have a wonderful one. I hope that you in California, you know, get the sun shining soon so you can have a great, great, great weather again, because you act up when the weather is that bad in California. It's not good. Anyway, let's think about what's happening. We're going to talk about Russia right now. Let's listen to what I kept for you.
You said earlier in your comments that the president has been incredibly tough on Russia.
Mm-hmm.
How is that possible? He has made comment after comment over the course of the campaign, the transition, where he defended Vladimir Putin. He had an interview with Bill O'Reilly where when he was asked, Vladimir Putin's a killer, he said, well, you know, America hasn't been that much better in this regard. To me, it seems, and I think to a lot of Americans, it seems that this president has not been tough on Russia. How can you say that?
Because I just walked through. I think there's a difference between the president wanting to have and an understanding of how a good relationship with Russia can help us defeat ISIS and terrorism throughout the world. Look, the Obama administration tried to have a reset with Russia. They failed. They tried to tell Russia not to invade Crimea. They failed. This president understands that it's in America's national and economic interests to have a healthy relationship. If he has a great relationship with Putin and Russia, great. If he doesn't, then he'll continue on. But he's not going to just assume that because it wasn't able to happen in the past. I think you've seen with Prime Minister Abe in particular and others that the reset that Prime Minister Netanyahu has talked about tomorrow, so many of these countries from around the globe are looking forward to resetting the relationships that this country has with them, that they feel as though that they were abandoned over the last 8 years, and that they are excited about the prospect of a new U.S. relationship under a Trump administration. So, but with respect to Russia, I think the comments that Ambassador Haley made at the U.N. were extremely forceful and very clear that until they leave,
the president.
She speaks for the president. I speak for the president. All of us in this administration. And so all of the actions and all of the words in this administration are behalf and at the direction of this president. So I don't think we could be any clearer on the president's commitment. Katie Pavlich.
Just a quick little follow-up, because I didn't have any follow-ups, but
really?
Or questions in a while. But anyway, the other question is, just getting back to what was asked a few moments ago about trust and being misled. Are you saying that the National Security Advisor was intentionally misleading the president, the vice president, yourself, when he made these comments to
the trust is given by the president. It's a relationship between he and any individual. And so, as I mentioned in the comments, maybe it was because, I don't know that it was intentional, he may have just forgotten, but I think at some point, trust isn't just a trust.
Forget though, no, the conversation.
But that's the point, Jim, is that at some point that trust eroded to a point where the president did not feel comfortable with him serving in that position and asked for and received his resignation. Katie.
All right. We are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. I don't know what happened to the music, but I guess the tape is done. Anyway, talking to you again about Russia will be on the next issue. You know, we'll try to analyze it. Is it really a fair game to say, what are you talking to Russia for, or why are you nice to Russia? I the last time I remember, the Cold War is over. We actually had Ronald Reagan going there and shaking hands, and they dropped that wall. Remember that history. Why, for some reason, all Democrats think that the Cold War is still on, and they can still be hostile to Russia? I'm saying that Russia is a partner that you need to reckon with, of course. But we are not a state of war with Russia, and that's something that they, you know, some people in the Democratic Party and the news media needs to back off. And the idea of Crimea voted to be a part of Russia. They, of course, they went there and they took it, yes, but then they had an election and they had a referendum, whatever you call it, and they chose to be Russian. Okay, and that was actually annexed back to Russia after it was given to Ukraine in 1960s or something, they say. You see, miscommunication, misinformation can change the world history and can make people go into war. And I'm so happy that nobody went into Ukraine action, claim against Russia. Because if they look in their history, they know that they annexed it to Crimea from Russia before, and Russia took it back. For some reason, it's important to them because most of the cohabitants of Crimea are Russians, you know, Russian by birth, I guess, or something. And they wanted to be a part of Russia. And in that time of the world, you know, in time in history, 2013, we actually didn't have much of a leadership to stand back to America, and John Kerry wanted to go into Syria then, and he was really appalled by the fact that they were using chemical weapon against children. But the Russians were already there. They should have actually. John Kerry met so many times with Lavrov, you know, the foreign minister of Russia. And they were pretending they're having a good time, but for some reason, after, you know, the change of administration, all of a sudden Russia become an enemy. You guys have to get on the page. It's 2017, and Russia is a player in the world. America is the true leader of the world, and we need somebody to help us manage it, right? We need work. You know, Israel here is in the middle of this chaos, and we see, you know, all this ping pong between everybody, and we see the chaos that is created in the European Union and the new election that maybe, you know, Merkel is not going to win this time because there is a contender of Martin Schulz that is really giving her a really fight for her money. I think that we have a new day. The Brexit is in play, and as I said, the World Trade Organization is worth, what the page is like looking like, because it's talking about Sudan. When you have a trade organization, which would give you the idea to what kind of a level of economy you are inspiring when you have, Sudan on the main page, which drives me a little insane as a businesswoman. That knows what America taught me very well, economy, you know, business. And I remember, 101, you need to go and get them. And the World Trade Organization does not make the cut. So until we start again, and, I send a message to Benjamin Netanyahu on Twitter just yesterday, that saying that I'm praying for him. I'm praying for his success. I'm praying for Donald Trump's success as a president. We love to see him succeed. We love to see the growth in the world. And, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu was a tremendous minister of treasury. He's an incredible businessman. He could put his hat for a minute off a businessman and think like Donald Trump. and help us start moving and shaking this economy of ours, because the stagnation in the economy was devastating. The loss that we all have, and the dark net that took over the world. I was just in a conference, guys. I was in a conference, and to think what the dark net is like accumulation of all criminals in the net, and they actually trafficking everything. I think now that they all center, it will be easy to capture them. It's not actually they came out and about. And there are people who actually work to capture them. I'm sure that they're going to start tapping into them, and in no time they're going to be on their case. Because, you see, there is a God, and it's not us, as I always say. I know it's time to go. I'm so happy to be again here on Wednesday, which is lovely for me. I'm so thankful for Doug, and I'm so thankful for BBS Radio. And I'm sure that you guys are going to be incredible as always. And thank you all for your time and your attention. And I bless you all from Israel, the Holy Land. All the best, guys. All have a great day. Ciao, ciao. Bye-bye.